After growing the Project DX team from 3 to 8 software developers, our release process was a complete pain, and it typically took 2 to 3 hours to get a good build on the production branch. And even then, some insidious issues would sneak through. By making a few changes to our development and acceptance process, we were able to turn it into a 5-minute, low-stress job. A couple of years ago, our team was much smaller. We had around 3 full-time developers working on the code, and we would all commit our work in progress to the master branch in our Git repository and push those commits out when we had a set that made sense to share with the other developers. With only a few developers, we would usually be working on one feature at a time. And once a small number of features were accepted and ready, we could go ahead and release them to production. This worked pretty well at the time, and when we did have a merge conflict, we were all familiar enough with what was being worked on to be able to work it out reasonably. In 2010, the Project DX team was acquired by Renewable Funding. Among other things, this gave us both the resources and the need to grow the team beyond just a few developers. I took over management of the software development team, and within several months, had hired 3 new developers and then added 2 to 3 contract developers to the team at any given time. It's no big surprise that increasing the size of a team by a factor of 3 in a 6-month period is going to have some challenges. And one of those was how the flow of work through the system needed to change. At first, we didn't change anything about that process. I prefer not to change things before I have any idea what the real problems are going to be. Developers still committed work to the master branch, and that branch was deployed to our internal alpha server by our automated CI system if and when all of the tests passed. When the developers working on a feature felt that it was complete, they put it up for acceptance, and the product owner verified the feature on alpha before either accepting or rejecting the work. However, our increased capacity meant that more individual features were worked on at any given time, and this parallel development ran up against some shortcomings in our process. Our release cycle is once every 2 weeks. We plan our work into 2-week sprints, and a feature isn't considered done until it is accepted by the product owner and actually released to production. The problem we ran into was that, on occasion, a feature planned for a sprint would not be accepted in time for that sprint's production deployment. This caused problems putting together the production release. For example, let's say the team worked on feature A and feature B during the sprint. Feature A gets accepted and is ready to release, but there are some issues with feature B that mean we are not going to put it in production this time around. Since we worked on both features at the same time, the commit log on the master branch contained a mix of commits for both features and looked like AAB, AB, AAB, B. When it came time to put together the release, we only wanted to take the commits for the accepted feature and merge them into the production branch. This meant that someone would have to go through the commit logs, find the relevant commits, and cherry-pick them into production one at a time. First problem? That's a mind-numbing chore for whoever is tasked with it. Now imagine that, even if there are no inherent dependencies between feature A and feature B, there are changes made in one of the early commits for feature B to a commonly used area of the code. Then, in the further work on feature A, the code is written in such a way that depends on this new behavior added by feature B's commits. Not a problem if both features get approved for the release, but it does become an issue when only feature A makes it to production. At that point, the person tasked with putting together the production branch ends up with failing tests and possibly a merge conflict. It's especially fun when that person didn't actually work on the changes involved. That's bad enough, but it gets worse. It's not as if we stop working on feature B just because it doesn't get accepted for this release. The people working on it continue to do so, and the rest of the team starts work on feature C. By the end of the sprint, we have a commit log on the master branch that looks something like AA, BA, BA, AB, BC, BC, BB, CC. Luckily, both B and C get accepted this sprint, so we can cherry-pick both of these into production. And everything should be fine, right? Well, the production branch now looks like this. AA, AAA, BB, BB, CB, CB, BCC. Notice an issue there? The production branch contains all of the same commits as the master branch, but now they are applied in a different order. In practice, this led to some very interesting merge conflicts. In some cases, it didn't lead to conflicts that Git was able to detect, but it caused some defects to appear in production that were not present during our internal acceptance process performed against the master branch. After a couple of releases from hell, it was apparent to the whole team that this was a problem that we needed to solve. We put our heads together and came up with a solution that has been working great for us in the several months since adopting it. The first change is that we no longer have the whole team committing work in progress to master. Whereas we used to have a master branch that contained the main line of development and a production branch that only contained work that was in or ready to go to production, we decided to turn that on its head a bit. We made the decision that the NAFTA branch wasn't really all that important, and that the production branch was the most critical part of the system. Regardless of what undeployed work might be in commits on the master branch, the production branch is what is real and permanent. If you want to keep feature development independent from work on other features, the production branch is the one thing you can rely on not changing prior to the next production release. Now that's all well and good, but I'd have to cut a corner off my agile practitioner's card if I suggested that we based each feature off of the production branch and didn't integrate them until the end of the sprint. On the other hand, we don't want to change the production branch until we're ready for a release, in case we need to push out an emergency mid-cycle release to fix a critical defect. The challenge was to come up with a workflow that would protect the actually in production nature of the production branch while making sure we didn't fall into the trap of Big Bang integration at the end of the sprint. In order to meet these goals, at the beginning of every sprint, we create a new branch based off of the production branch called Sprint N, where N is the number of that sprint. Each feature that is being worked on during that sprint also gets its own branch, and the feature branch is based off of the sprint branch. When a feature is ready for acceptance, the developer in charge of the feature will deploy the code from our feature branch to the alpha environment for the product owner to review. The product owner is able to review that feature in isolation from all of the other work in progress. This gives him confidence that even if this were the only thing we got done this sprint, it would behave the same way in production. If the product owner rejects the feature, the developers go back to working on it, and no other features are directly impacted. If the product owner accepts the feature, then and only then does the feature branch get merged into the sprint branch. We use git merge hyphen squash so that the changes for the feature show up as a single commit in the sprint branch. After the changes are merged in, the rest of the team is notified that the sprint branch has been updated and all other in-progress feature branches are rebased onto the new head of the sprint branch. For those not familiar with Git, rebasing, in layman's terms, means rewriting history such that all of the commits made only to the feature branch will be applied after any changes that appear on the sprint branch, regardless of the actual chronological order of those commits. With this system, we make sure that no feature has any unintentional dependencies on work that may not be accepted. Because the sprint branch only contains code that is actually in production, plus already accepted work that will go out in the next release. At the same time, because changes are merged into the sprint branch as soon as they are accepted, we are able to test integration at the earliest practical point in time. When the developers working on other features rebase their branches onto the new sprint branch, they deal with any actual or semantic merge issues at that time. That way, the people most familiar with the changes are able to resolve the conflicts while those changes are still fresh in their minds. We use Team City to run our automated, continuous integration. Team City runs tests whenever it detects changes to either the sprint branch or the production branch. Additionally, we can easily clone the build configuration and have it run against the branch for a particular feature. We don't do so for every feature, but we use that capability for larger features that need to integrate the work of multiple pair programming teams. When the end of the sprint arrives, updating the production branch is as simple as git checkout production and git merge sprint-n. Since the sprint branch was created directly from the production branch and only contains accepted work, this is always a simple fast-forward merge. We tag the production branch with the release number and deploy that to our staging environment for a final once-over before delivering to production. I'm John Wilger, and you've been listening to Production Release Workflow with Git, published on January 8, 2011, and copyright 2011, all rights reserved. You can read or listen to more of my work at johnwilger.com.